First public hearing is subdivision 2019-5, Chase Oaks.
This is a cluster coastal area subdivision to divide 145.3 acres plus or minus into 253 single-family lots to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The property is located on the north and south sides of Robinsonville Road, approximately 320 feet east, northeast of the intersection of Robinsonville Road and Webb's Landing Road. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 6, Parcels 96, 97, and 98. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff would note for the record, it did go through our technical advisory committee that included comments from the Delaware Electric Co-op, DENREC, the Division of Groundwater Discharge, the Sussex Conservation District, the Public Health Department, the Office of the State Farm Marshal, Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We also received, they are working on their TIS through DLDOT. It also went through PLUS, and there's also the PLUS comments and the response to the PLUS letter. We also have the environmental assessment and public facilities report. There's also an exhibit booklet and a preliminary subdivision plan for your consideration. Thank you.
We thank you. The Chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening to the commission and congratulations to Mr. Wheatley on being reelected, I think. I am Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, Rehoboth, and I am representing the applicant Charter Oak Investment LLC. With me is Jack Hayes on behalf of the applicant, Jason Palkowitz of Solutions IPEM, Betty Tustin of the Traffic Group, and Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources, Inc. As was stated, there was an exhibit book submitted for the record containing a summary of the proposed subdivision and supporting documents, including the PLUS response, the Section 99.9C subdivision report, and the environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation. And as stated, this is an application for an AR1 zoned cluster subdivision. It is located in the environmentally sensitive development area under the 2008 Sussex County Comp Plan, which, as you know, is now called the coastal area under the 2019 plan. The subdivision will be comprised of 253 single-family lots and recreational amenities, and it's located on land containing 145.34 acres and made up of three separate tax map parcels. The proposed name of the subdivision is Chase Oaks. And Janelle, could you put up the site plan for a minute? There you go. The majority of the site is located on the east side of Robinsonville Road, on both the north and the south sides of Webb's Landing Road. Those sections there will contain 231 of the 253 lots. And as you can see, there's also a small section on the west side of Robinsonville Road that would contain 22 lots. And that smaller section may look a bit unusual, but there is a reason that it is included in our application. That parcel on the west side of Robinsonville Road is part of tax map parcel 98, which is located on both sides of Robinsonville Road. So historically, the land may have existed as one parcel predating the establishment of the road. The west parcel contains a large area of non-tidal wetlands, as you can see the green on the plot plan, but there is adequate developable land for 22 lots, which is what's proposed to be located there. The applicant did consider developing the west parcel as a separate standalone subdivision, but decided that by including it as part of the Chase Oaks development, the owners in that section would have the benefit of using the recreational facilities and would be part of the Chase Oaks development. So it was included. The general nature of the area, Janelle, you can go back to the area, the aerial map. The nature of the area is a mixture of farming uses and single-family residential developments. The area is developing as a single-family residential area along Robinsonville Road. To the north side of our property, is we actually border the Tidewater Landing development, which is a 213 single-family lot subdivision that is currently under construction. Across from Tidewater Landing is the approved 168 single-family lot Tanager Woods subdivision, which was approved by the commission in December of last year. And the site is actually approximately 3/4 of a mile from the Peddlers Village Shopping Center on Route 24.
Mr. Figueroa, just what was the number on Tanager Woods again?
168. Under the strategies for state policies and spending, the property is located in the investment level 2 with a small portion in investment level 3. As you know, investment level 2 is an area where growth is anticipated by both local, county, and state plans in the near-term future. As I mentioned, under the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the property is in the environmentally sensitive development area, which is now called the coastal area. Both those areas are designated as growth areas in the comp plan. The zoning ordinance provides that land located in the environmentally sensitive development area that is served by central water and sewer can be developed utilizing the cluster option, which permits minimum lot sizes of 7,500 square feet and a density determined by the underlying density of the zoning district. This land is zoned AR, no change of zone is being requested, and single family dwellings on individual lots are a permitted use in the AR1 district. The property contains 145.34 acres, which at the permitted AR density of 2.17 lots per acre would permit approximately 315 lots. Our application proposes 253 single family lots, which is a density of approximately 1.74 lots per acre, which is significantly less than the maximum density allowed. The development will be served by central water for domestic use and fire protection by Tidewater Utilities. They have a certificate of public convenience and necessity to serve this area, and the development will have central sewer as part of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. The site adjoins the boundaries of the district at Tidewater Landing, and it will be annexed as part of the county district. The Sussex County Engineering Department comments state that the proposed project is within system design assumptions for sewer service and that sewer capacity is available for the development. Electric service will be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with DENREC's current sediment and stormwater regulations, which became effective in February of this year. The regulations employ a comprehensive approach to stormwater management and sediment control, both during and after construction. The regulations include sediment control and inspection during construction, post-construction inspection of stormwater facilities, and stormwater quantity and quality control. Geotechnology Associates, Inc. performed a soil and groundwater evaluation of the property to assist in determining the appropriate locations for the stormwater facilities. A wetland delineation was performed by Environmental Resources, Inc. That determined that there were 18.83 acres of non-tidal wetlands located on the site. Janelle, could you go back to the site plan for me? The wetlands are in two main areas. The first is adjacent to a stream along the northern boundary of a portion of the site. So that would be this area up in here. The other is a large portion of the land located on the west side of Robinsonville Road, and that's it, the area in here. There's also a drainage ditch or swale that runs across the property from Robinsonville Road back to where the stream is in the rear. A portion of the site that is adjacent to the Tidewater Landing development is located in a wellhead protection area as regulated by Section 89-6 of the Sussex County Code. That area will have less than 35% impervious cover, and by code is not subject to any limitations under that ordinance. even though the ordinance doesn't apply, the applicant has provided the site plan to Tidewater Utilities, Inc. to review. And based on the proposed design of the site in the area of the Tidewater wells, Tidewater stated that it has no objection to the design. And there is a letter in the file dated June 14, 2019, not in the file, but in the exhibit book. As far as floodplains, a small portion of the property is located in flood zone A under the FEMA special flood hazard map, but that is only a portion of the stream area that I referred to on the rear of the site. That area will be undisturbed, and there will be a significant buffer between that area and any lot lines. The remainder of the site is all outside of the floodplain in zone X, and all of that development will occur, all of the development will occur in that area of the zone X designation. The applicant did have a phase one environmental site assessment prepared by Brightfields Inc. Environmental Services. That study concluded that there were no physical or historical evidence of any recognized environmental conditions, which are referred to as RECs, in connection with any of the property. Environmental Resources, Inc. also confirmed with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that there were no threatened or endangered species or their critical habitats located on the property. And the site is in the Cape Henlopen School District, and fire service is provided from the Lewis Fire Department or from the joint Rehoboth Beach Lewis Fire Station on Route 24. As to traffic impact, DelDET did require a traffic impact study for the development to determine needed off-site improvements. I'm going to summarize that, and Betty Tustin is here, a traffic engineer, as well as Bill Brockenbrow, so if I misstate anything, I assume they'll correct me. The applicant did retain traffic group to do the traffic impact study that was completed in May of this year, and that was done in accordance with the scope of work determined by DelDOT. DelDOT is requiring the normal road improvements for a new subdivision, which include dedicating additional road right-of-way along the site frontage on Robinsonville Road and Webb's Landing Road in order to create a 30-foot right-of-way from the center line of both roads. Also creating a 15-foot permanent easement adjacent to the new right-of-way line, again along the frontage of both roads, and providing a shared use path in the easement area, again along both roads. In addition, based on the DelDOT review of the traffic impact study, DelDOT determined that the applicant would be responsible to perform the following. First, improvements would have to be done to Robinsonville Road and Webb's Landing Road along the site frontage to provide 11-foot travel lanes with 5-foot shoulders, and at DelDOT's discretion, provide an overlay to the existing travel lanes on those roads. The applicant would be required to enter into a traffic signal agreement with DelDOT for design and construction of future traffic signals at two intersections. One of those intersections is Robinsonville Road and Kendale Road. The other one is at Beaver Dam Road and Kendale Road. And the applicant's contribution and the timing for installation of those signals would be as determined by DelDOT. The applicant would also be required to enter into an agreement with DelDOT to construct a westbound right turn lane at the intersection of Robinsonville Road and Hart's Lane. This would be coming from the development where you'd make a left to basically come back to Route 24. The applicant will construct the site entrances in accordance with DelDOT requirements and specifications. The Webb's Landing Road entrances are on both sides of that road, opposite one another, which creates a four-leg intersection. The main improvement there would be going in an eastbound direction, and that would provide a left turn lane, a through lane, and a right turn lane. The applicant would also be responsible for an equitable share contribution toward a proposed DelDOT project to realign Pinewater Road and Sloan Road with the intersection of Route 24 and Hollymont Road. The amount of that contribution, again, would be determined by DelDOT. And the applicant would be responsible for an equitable share contribution, again, as determined by DelDOT, toward the existing DelDOT projects at the intersection of Route 24 and Camp Arrowhead Road, Fairfield Road, and at the intersection of Route 24 and Robinsonville Road and Gola Road. All of the roadway improvements that the applicant would be responsible for would be done in compliance with DelDOT's bicycle, pedestrian, and transit safety requirements. Now, DelDOT does note in its review letter, and I think as you are well aware, that the county and DelDOT have been discussing and planning the possible creation of the Hennepin Transportation Improvement District, or TID. A TID is a planning concept that seeks to proactively align transportation infrastructure spending and improvements with actual land use projections and future development within that designated district. This proposed TID has not yet been established, but DelDOT indicates that if and when it is done, DelDOT deems that it might be appropriate for the applicant to make a contribution to the TID in place of some of the road improvements obligation that I just reviewed. And again, that determination would be made by DelDOT. I do want to mention that things often take longer than planned, and on this application, we really got in a time crunch about getting the TIS review letter in time for tonight's hearing, so you had that as part of your consideration this evening. And I know DelDOT doesn't receive a lot of thank yous, but Mr. Hayes really does appreciate the time and effort that Bill Brockenbrow and the other DelDOT people involved with this review put into getting the TIS review done in time for tonight's hearing, so we do want to thank him. There are two rather unique aspects regarding the property. The first is on parcel 96, which is the section to the left or on the north side of Webb's Landing Road. There is an old private cemetery referred to as a Vessel Family Cemetery. Now, the location of that cemetery is pretty easy to identify, since the entire of parcel 96 is basically cleared farmland, with the exception of a standalone wooded area that's located in the center rear of the parcel, and that is the location of the cemetery. And again, you can see that on the site plan right there. Ed Otter, who you're familiar with, was retained to do an archaeological delineation of the cemetery, and through deed research and field investigation was able to determine the physical boundaries of the cemetery and identified 17 known graves of the Vessel family and the Webb family. All of the graves are located in the approximate 1/4 acre wooded area. So as shown on the preliminary plan, the physical boundaries of the cemetery have been identified and they will be marked. As recommended by Ed Otter, the trees will remain so that all graves will remain intact and not be disturbed by any tree removal. The cemetery will be cleaned and cleared of dead and dying vegetation. Headstones that can will be reset, or at least will be properly laid flat on the ground. The cemetery is somewhat under disrepair at this time. A fence will be erected around the entire perimeter of the cemetery. The cemetery itself will be surrounded by community open space. A sign will be placed at the entrance gate to the cemetery explaining the history of the cemetery, and public access to the cemetery will be permitted for family members or the public wishing to visit the site. The cemetery area will be made subject to a permanent preservation easement, and the declaration of restrictions for the development will provide that the HOA will be responsible for the perpetual maintenance and upkeep of the cemetery. The second unique item that came up was in the staff review letter, which is dated April 2nd, and it noted that parcel 98, and I'll quote, is appearing in the county mapping system as a tribal land, Nanticoke Indian Tribe state designated tribal statistical area. Now, I've been involved in doing land use matters for a long time, and that was the first time I ever heard anything like that, and I had no idea what it meant. Vince, do you have any idea what it means?
No, okay. I'm not sure why that would be on. I'm not familiar with it on county.
Well, I didn't know what it was, but it kind of concerned me when I first read it. So I did some research. So this state-designated tribal statistical area is a large area of of land running from the Indian River around Riverview and Oak Orchard, and it runs north up through the Love Creek area all the way to Five Points. And the purpose of this SDTSA designation was for the Census Bureau to gather information from state-recognized Indian tribes that did not have a state or federally recognized land base, or what is called a reservation. So this is all part of the census, and it was first used in the 2010 census, which is maybe why it had never come up before. And as I'm sure you know, the Nanticoke Indian Tribe is a designated tribe in Delaware, having been recognized officially as a tribe by the state since 1881. But this designation that appeared on the map is purely a statistical designation for census purposes and doesn't have any other impact.
Yeah.
As to the site design, as I said, the development will have 253 single-family lots, which is a gross density of 1.74 lots per acre. Access to the two main sections of the subdivision would be from the development entrances off of Webb's Landing Road, again, one to the north and one to the south, so that's this area right in here. The entrance to the 22-lot section on the west side of Robinsonville Road would be from that road and would also enter, oh, I'm sorry, going back to the Webb's Landing, as you enter, you would enter into a landscape open space and adjacent stormwater ponds. So the design of that would basically present a very attractive streetscape view along Webb's Landing Road. The entrance to the 22-lot section would also enter into a landscape common area. And again, that's down here. There will be school bus stops near the entrances. The locations would be coordinated with the school district. There will also be central mailbox facilities in each section. As I've already stated, the entrances will be designed and constructed in accordance with DLDOT requirements. The 253 lots will vary in size from 7,500 square feet, the smallest to the largest, 16,900 square feet, with the average lot size being about 8,866 square feet. And almost all of the lots actually border some type of community open space. The subdivision streets will be private. They will be built to Sussex County design standards with curbs and gutters, sidewalks on both sides of the streets, and non-intrusive street lighting. The streets will have a tree-lined type of landscape with extensive landscaping in appropriate common areas and also on some lots. The recreational component will include, at a minimum, an outdoor pool and surrounding deck area, a multi-use court for tennis and pickleball, a playground, a clubhouse with a minimum floor area of 2,000 square feet. It most likely will be larger than that, but I just wanted to state a minimum size, and a large parking area and extensive landscaping. Again, it will be a larger parking area to accommodate the 22 lots that would be required to drive over to use the facilities. There will also be some small gathering areas with benches or gazebos at various locations in the community on the open space. We are requesting that the core recreational area, being the pool, court, playground, and clubhouse, be required to be completed prior to issuance of the 120th building permit. The development would provide the following buffers. There will be a 20-foot landscaped or forested buffer provided along the perimeter of the entire property. There will be a 50-foot buffer provided between any lot lines and any lands that are in agricultural use. The 20-foot landscape buffer in those areas would, of course, be within the 50-foot buffer. There will be a minimum buffer of 50 feet from the stream located on the north side of the site. Most of that buffer is actually much greater than 50 feet, as you can see from the plot. The drainage swale or ditch that runs from Robinsonville Road back to the stream will have a minimum buffer of 10 feet from any lot lines, And a small portion of that ditch will be relocated and enhanced with landscaping and rocks and things of that nature. That is the area that's adjacent to where the recreational center would be, and the idea was to enhance that. And of course, that any permits that would be required to do that would be obtained. The two main wetland areas that I referred to, they have a buffer between the wetlands and any lot lines of a minimum. The closest buffer is 35 feet, but the majority of that buffer is approximately 60 feet or greater. The total open space of the development, including the common area, the buffers, the recreational area, and the wetlands, totals 77.31 acres, or 53% of the site. The community will have a homeowners association comprised of all lot owners. The HOA will be responsible for enforcing the community restrictions, collecting assessments, and maintaining the development street entrances, buffers, landscaping, stormwater areas, recreational amenities, and other common areas. It's roughly anticipated that development would be constructed in six phases. I do have proposed findings and conditions, which I will submit to you for your consideration. And with that, that would conclude my presentation, of course, subject to any questions you may have for me or our consultants.
All right, sure. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
Well, could you pull up a map that shows what other developments are in that area? Do we have one? I went to the county map that would show where the lines are for things that haven't been built yet but have been approved. All right. Well, my first question is, and I just need to start asking this all the time. When you talk about bus stops, what are we talking about?
School bus.
I know that. What does the stop look like? Like, kids stand there, or are you going to actually put a place where cars can pull in?
As I understand, the school district normally provides a covered bus stop. You know, with I don't know, walls, I guess. They might be open on the one side. Yeah, it's a shelter. It's a school bus shelter.
That's it. Because I mean, I know that there are some developers in here right now who are very careful about what kind of things they build, but people just say school bus stop and then
And again, it would be coordinated with the school district, but yes, it would be a shelter, you know, to cover the elements and things of that nature at a location that they would approve.
Okay, so you know my next big question. Why is there no interconnectivity to future development?
And you probably know my answer. Again, these are private streets. We get into the whole issue of, I'll just bring up what I mentioned before. I really think this question should be raised and get public input on it, because I've explained several times, to me there's great concerns about, these are private streets, how do they become public streets? These are, who pays the maintenance, who has liability, things of that nature. Now the other thing is, we spoke about the emergency.
Yes,
type access.
That's my big concern.
Yeah, that can be done. I mean, we can dead end streets and things of that nature. In this case, though, we do have the we have three entrances to those areas. The one on the other side of Robinsonville Road is basically all wetlands over there, and it's only 22 lots. The ones on that border off the north and south side of Webb's Landing Road, you know, I'm sure some type of emergency entrance could be provided.
I would appreciate that. I'm just.
Well, let me ask Mr. Palkowitz.
Good evening, Jason Palkowitz for Solutions IPM. Janelle, if you pull up the site plan, I might be able to show where we could do this quite readily. So, if you note along the bottom of the plan, you've got three cul-de-sacs and four cul-de-sacs, and as Jim discussed, there's going to be multimodal path. We're going to connect those cul-de-sacs to the multimodal path. So it would be very simple to make the one on each side of those connections wide enough to be an emergency access.
Okay. Right, and there are no amenities on that little 20 places down there?
Yes, there is.
Oh, there is a gathering area.
Yes. The little, at the end of the cul-de-sac, you see a little like horseshoe of trees down there. That's anticipated to be one of the gathering areas that Jim described. Okay. And there's actually one on the other side near the cemetery as well. So each call of the three sections has some sort of form of amenity in it.
Okay. Because we've been trying to get away from having people have to get in their cars or try to run across that road, which is pretty much like a scene out of Running Man or something, to do that, to get over to go to the pool. So.
Yeah, and we recognize that. Like I said, we did discuss possibly doing this as a separate subdivision, but again, it is part of the same property. It's not like an acquired property that wasn't part of this. And we thought it would be better for them to have the benefit of using the recreational facilities of the main development.
Just out of curiosity, is there a place you could put those lots on the other side and just leave that piece undeveloped?
Not with the design features that were put into this. Again, the open space that was kept, the setbacks, the buffers, things of that nature would all have to be adjusted. And, you know, it's give and take, and you benefit here, you lose something here. And
okay, that's all I have for now. Thank you.
All right, drop it.
So, Jason, maybe if you could show us again, maybe I wasn't listening. I probably wasn't listening clear enough. But for an alternate way to get out, if the entrance is blocked, you say that there's cul-de-sac.
So you're going to have a multimodal path here.
Oh, okay.
And then these cul-de-sacs are going to be connected for pedestrians to use.
Perfect.
Path.
Okay,
and
so that's an egress.
In one area, we'll make it wide enough for emergency trucks.
Then, where are the ditches that you were talking about?
So there's one. There's the wetlands on this side, and here, and here are connected by a ditch that runs currently like that.
Uh-huh.
And we want to take this part of the ditch and just do that with it.
Gotcha. So, and when you talk about the property lines start 10 feet, that's 10 feet from center line of ditch?
No, from the top of bank.
Oh, really?
To the nearest property line along that. And that's just, I know.
How do you determine top of bank?
LNA.
When it's done.
Yeah, flags the wetlands.
Well, I guess you've done that on your drill.
There's an existing sweat ditch.
Yeah, you have a tote. Okay.
We talked about it.
Do you want to put up the.
Yeah,
that's
fine. Is that in here?
Do you know how to move? Janelle, can you.
Can we zoom in on this one?
This is the. It's one of the ladder slides. It shows the rec facility, and this was a ditch.
Yeah, so this blue line you see is the relocated ditch.
Right. Yeah, it looks good. And lastly, so on, if I could circle back on the bus thing again.
Yes.
So right now we're planning on the bus stopping out on Robinsonville Road. Is that right? Where do you perceive the bus stop being?
We perceive them being at each entrance, having its own individual bus stop.
Oh yeah, it's not Robinsonville, of course. It's that other.
Wherever the school district actually specifically tells us to put it is where we'll put it.
So you'll have there's like a turning lane there going into each on each side
for the bus or for parking
for just the cars.
There'll be parking at each one of the bus stops. We anticipated individual mailboxes in each section.
So there'd be a place that the parents can park and wait for the bus.
There's a lot of open space at all the entrances that's sufficient to put things. And again, we haven't gotten to the school district to determine the details of it yet.
No more questions.
Thank you. I appreciate the open space at the entrances, but I do have a question about that ditch that you're relocating.
Yes.
That water stays on site, or does that tie into something that's a neighboring property that you're adjusting?
It ties into our property across the street, back to the
site plan.
It goes to the other parcel across the street.
So it starts, this is our parcel across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wetlands, as Jim described. It drains this wetlands through the site, and this is a blue line stream in here. So it It drains our own wetlands to our own wetlands.
Okay, so that shouldn't impact any neighboring?
Correct.
Okay. I read in the paper, the packet, because of the property that's a half a mile away, that was recommended to do any do soil studies for any possible contamination. Has that been done? Or?
Yes, we did have Brightfields do a search, and again, they found no environmental conditions.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And that is in the exhibit book, copy of the report.
And then the only other question I had, I think I read also that there was going to be parking provided for the cemetery, but I see there's just a place maybe to pull off.
I think, yeah, there's just going to be a couple of spaces where you can pull over. We don't anticipate a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
It's
on the north side.
All right, I think that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Pukwai, will there be a walkway along the road on the smaller part on the southeast side of the road?
On the other side of the road? Yes, I believe DilDot requires the shared use path wherever we have road frontage.
Okay.
Which eventually would be expected to someday all connect to other pathways.
Got nothing else.
Okay. Staff on this end, Lauren, any questions?
I have none.
Okay. Ms. Gorman?
None, thank you.
Okay,
none at this point, thanks.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, part of the ongoing cooperation between Sussex County and the state of Delaware, our good friends at the Department of Transportation very graciously supply us with an expert to attend our meetings and to assist the commission in understanding the implications that any application might have in regard to our transportation system. We're pleased to have with us this evening Mr. Bill Brockenbrough from DelDOT. DelDOT does not take a position on an application. They are not here to be for or against. They are here solely to advise the five people sitting up here that are going to make a decision. That being said, Mr. Brockenbrough, I invite you to come up and we'll see if anybody on the commission has any questions for you or if you have any statements or information you'd like to convey to us.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start by taking questions.
Okay. Anyone have anything for Mr. Brockenbrough? The only thing I would ask you was that with everything that the applicant placed in the record true and correct, to the best of your knowledge, as it relates to the transportation portion?
Mr. Fuquay was citing an unsigned draft that the applicant received late yesterday. I believe it conveys the general direction where we are headed with the review. There may be some additions, there may be some deletions. But it's it gives you the general flavor of where we are headed.
Okay.
If you need our final letter, you may wish to hold the record open until you receive it.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. We'll take that under advisement. Any questions for Mr. Brockenbrough?
So the way you're going, though, is you're trying to keep enough space there to widen the road eventually, or what is
We are requiring, I believe it's 30 feet from center line. Mm-hmm. That's a standard dedication.
Right. And then it was
There are some intersection improvements.
15-foot easement.
Right. Yes, 15-foot wide permanent easement, which would encompass the shared use path and utilities, that sort of thing.
I do have a question.
Okay, sure.
And this goes for all the properties that we see. I think we talked about this the last meeting. When you do studies and there are projects that have already been approved.
Yes.
Are those numbers
yes.
taken into
they
account?
Are. They are.
What you're looking at for ongoing.
Realizing that it's a moving target.
Yeah.
It's been some months since we gave them a scope of work. If you've approved things since then, they're not included.
They're not.
We try to hit, I think there were 19 committed developments in this study, so
okay.
You could look for things that aren't. I think we've got everything.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Just one question. Are there any plans for any road improvements on Robinsonville?
We normally require the applicant to improve within the limits of their frontage, sometimes a little beyond, sometimes a little less. There's not a project to improve from end to end, if you will.
You could get them to put a shoulder on there, that'd be great. I got run off the road today just driving by, so.
Our standard improvement on a local road is 11-foot lanes and 5-foot shoulders, and we require that with every development that gets a traffic impact study.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
I like the thought of the walkways on both sides of the road, but I also don't like it due to the hazard of crossing the road with the speed limit and people driving above the speed limit. But it's a nice amenity for the people living on the south side of the road to be able to bike or kids skateboard over to the facilities across the street. Does DLDOT get involved in any safety precautions where there would be like a walkway across the public road connecting a development?
We generally avoid marking mid-block crossings, as we call them, because it suggests safety where there isn't any.
It seems hazardous.
I see the issue there.
Could you require the developer then to put up flashing lights just as a pedestrian crossing ahead or something, like they do on the highways?
I would defer to our chief traffic engineer, but we generally shy away from doing that. We if there's a signal, then yes, we can be sure they'll have a safe crossing. Otherwise, it's at your own risk.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else from Mr. Brockenbrough?
Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Take a seat nearby. We may refer back to you before this public hearing is over, so if you'll stick with us for a few more minutes, we appreciate it. All right, then. Let's see if there's anyone here that has an interest in this application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2019-5 Chase Oaks? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2019-5? All right, then. Is there anyone on the commission have any questions?
Oh,
we got one? Oh, okay, come on up. Don't hesitate.
Slow on the trigger.
Yeah. If that was a gunfight, you would have lost.
Count on it.
Good
answer. Roland Hill. I guess you want. What do I need?
No, you're good. Roland Hill is all we need. Go ahead.
Okay. We have adjoining farm to this property on the northeast. I guess it would be. Can I point out where we
you
are
may.
Here?
Or? And our director will help you.
I guess a question about the buffer. They're going to put their vegetative buffer. I would prefer or recommend that it was something very heavily buffered, like Leland cypress or
we actually
a thick
have
hedge.
To give you some level of comfort, the code actually spells out vegetation needs to be planted. And what the commission does, too, if they are inclined to approve it, they're going to require a final site plan. There'd be a landscaping plan that'll show the plantings to make sure that it's sufficient. Mm-hmm. So it's not really an ad hoc thing. And it's, you know, so many plantings per 100 feet, and it talks about the types of trees you're mentioning. So.
Yeah. Okay. We have the poultry operation, and it's rather close to the back point there. It's across the wetlands, but nonetheless, it's very close. I just want to make sure that potential purchasers of property are aware of the operation there, odors, and noise, truck traffic on Webb's Landing.
That's a good point. And the commission before, I don't know if it's maybe before everybody on here, but I know Mr. Wheely recalls, when we've had, every once in a while you get a situation where there's something like that next door. I mean, just as a blanket, there's an agricultural use protection notice that's going to have to go on the restrictions. And I imagine we'll make sure that it goes on the final site plan as well and everything else. But we can also kind of modify that to talk about, you know, poultry operations or truck traffic or whatever, just so, you know, there's knowledge of that. We've done it before with like hunting clubs that have been nearby and
sort
of things.
Yeah. Isn't there provisions that an attachment to deeds or purchase?
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We kind of like go a little bit beyond that by making it show up in a couple different places besides just the deed too, so.
Yeah, I think maybe some of our realtors need to be brought up at speed on that, because I think it is not fully disclosed in a lot of other.
Well, Mr. Hill, you make an excellent point. We do everything we can from where we are, and I agree with you. If we could, we'd make them put it in their marketing brochure, but we can't make them do that. But we can put it everywhere else. So
maybe we should work on that.
Yeah, big pardon?
Maybe we should work on that. I think they missed the ditch. It's probably very crucial to an adjacent piece of property on the other side of Robinson Road, excuse me. Does anybody know where that ditch is?
Yeah, up here, Mr. I need you to speak to us.
Okay.
But we're going to get the answer to that question for you. I believe the engineers are aware of that ditch, and we'll get them to address that when you're done with your comments.
Are you saying it's another ditch besides the one they showed?
Yes.
Okay.
And it drains. It's crucial to the drainage of an adjacent piece of property there. Mr. Novosil, I think, owns a proposed subdivision in that area. Of course, that whole area on that side of the road, where they're 27 acre or 27 lot, is a swamp anyhow. I mean, that whole side of Robinsonville Road is swampy. I'm amazed that they can put the houses there they have. Also, on the small 24 lot piece, there is a small strip of agricultural land there that is not shown as being buffered with a 50-foot buffer. Yeah, I think.
I'm sorry, where was that piece of land that you said is the agricultural land that's not being buffered?
Where are we? I've got, I think, lost. Oh, we'll bring up there. That's on it's going down the air. Okay. Bring up the site plan. Right over there. See where the trees stop and it goes all the way over to your to the right?
No,
the bottom. The other side of the road.
Keep going up.
All the way over to the right.
The right.
Yeah, there you go. Right there.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. And the ditch I'm talking about is all the way to the left of that tree line. Oop, a little further over. Probably about where that red dot is. Oop. Right there. There's a ditch that runs east, crosses under Webb's Landing Road, and joins a stream that eventually joins the other ditch that the gentleman talked about earlier.
Well, we'll see what we can find out about that when you're done.
I think I'm done.
All righty. Well, thank you so much.
Got to come back if I think of something else.
All right. Okay. I'll get to you in a minute, ma'am, but I'm going to ask the engineer to come back up here, and if you could address Mr. Hill's concerns. First of all, are you aware of all the ditches and so on that he referred to?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And what are you doing about them?
All right. So, first, if I can address the chicken houses as well.
Sure.
They are technically not adjacent to, but they're very close, I understand that. But our nearest house, which is right here, is 300 plus feet away from them.
Okay.
So it's not that, I understand the concern, but I'm just giving that knowledge. Now, there is a ditch. We focused on the other ditch because it's potentially wetlands, where this other ditch is not.
Okay.
But it's right here. It does this in general and crosses to that Blue Ridge stream.
Right.
There's a culvert there that is in bad shape, undersized, probably plugged, probably doesn't work. As part of our stormwater management, we're going to replace that culvert, size it properly, and enhance that and relocate that ditch so that water conveys as it does today or better. So we're fully aware of it and understand it.
So it may not necessarily be a ditch anymore. It may just be integrated into your stormwater management system.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. And then this little area over here, the preliminary plat does not show the 50-foot buffer, but the nearest lot is over 50 feet away. So it's literally, it's just showing the buffer. So it's taken into account.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Yes, ma'am. You're next.
Thank you. I had a change of heart in terms of question.
Okay.
Good evening. I'm not a...
We need your name.
Oh, yes. My name is Linda Dennis. I'm here from Georgetown. But I'm actually representing some individuals that live on the other side, I think, of that area at the top here. It's in a development called Fox Hollow, which... Are you... Do you know which one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fox Hollow is over to the rear.
Yeah. Perrydale.
Okay. Okay. Ma'am, so, I need you to direct your comments to the commission.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If we want him to speak, we'll ask him.
Okay.
Can I just show
you? Yeah, sure.
Sure. Go ahead.
Fox Hollow is this development right
here. Yeah.
And this is where you're talking about.
Yeah, so my question was really the impact of this on the ravine that separates the two developments. In other words, how much of a distance how much of a distance, this is difficult for me.
You're fine. Don't
how much of a distance is there between the top edge of that development through to Fox Hollow?
All right.
That's the question.
I'll get the answer for that. What else do you, what else?
That was it. And is any of that green area going to be disturbed? It is wetlands. There's a stream, active stream running through there. So I just wanted to confirm if there was going to be any impact on that development, because they were all notified of this public hearing this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
that's the question.
Well, they were notified because they're in a notification area.
Right. I understand that, yeah.
Okay. All right, then. I'll see if we can get some answers
for you.
Okay,
thank you.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You all.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, Mr. Falkowitz, back up here. We'll need to answer the ladies' questions, please.
If I understood correctly, we look at the site plan, maybe? So the...
I'm going to get my workout drawn tonight. Fox Hollow.
That's why you get the big bucks.
That's right. Is right here. And so this, they have lots here, and this stream follows along their property. So the nearest
home that we're going to have away. Is, if you don't mind, is over, it's about 50 feet away, the back property line to our edge. Generally, we plant anything, we try to keep 50 feet. Right. So it's the nearest one, and it's just a point.
If you, it's hard to tell with that, it's a cul-de-sac, so it's that point of that lot is 50 feet from our property line.
Mm-hmm. It's from the boundary of the development, not a lot.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so the lot to the boundary of the development is 50 feet. And as far as the ravine, that's a blue line stream through there. And as when we do our stormwater management, we're going to have to look at that as such and not impact.
Okay. And the wooded area that she referred to, that will be undisturbed, disturbed.
Well, the intent is to not disturb that 20-foot buffer,
okay.
But we have to provide rear yard drainage in there, so to the extent practical, we will reduce that. But again, it's just that point that we're talking about. But if you see the green
in here, this is all going to be kept as wood. It's all going to be kept as woods in there. I'm not sure if that answers the question, or
I think so. All right, thank you. Who's next? Yes, sir, in the back, over here.
Good evening. My name is John Donahue. I have just a handful of questions.
Okay.
Some are to the applicant, and some one question is to the board, and then one question is to DelDOT, if possible.
Sure.
So my first question is, in speaking about the drainage and some of the ditches that are going through the property, is there any concern about, during the construction process or thereafter, polluting Love Creek? and or is anything being done to prevent any runoff into Love Creek?
Okay.
And along those lines, we're talking about these ditches and we're talking about the construction toward Mr. Hill's house. It's kind of a slopey area, and I'm wondering, is there anything being done to prevent any sort of runoff into Mr. Hill's property, into his poultry buildings there as well?
Well, I can tell you that generally there's a prohibition against that. They cannot drain their water onto somebody else's property. They have to contain it and dispose of it or conduct it off of their property in such a fashion that it doesn't cross somebody else's except in an approved conveyance like a Blue Line stream or something like that. But I'll let them address that question.
Okay, I appreciate that. And Webb's Landing, as you probably have seen from some of the photos, obviously it's not up there now, it's a very small neighborhood, and that's where I live. Mm-hmm. And one of the nice things about Webb's Landing is it's very quiet, there's very little traffic, and obviously this is going to change the whole character of that area. It's going to bring a lot more traffic to the area, and I'm wondering whether or not this is a situation, or if the commission in the past has dealt with something, whereas at the end of this area here, and I don't know how to work this thing, but if I can walk up, may
sure,
I walk up
and sure,
that?
Sure.
So right up in this area here, as you drive down through here, and for the folks back here, I'll show you here, back here, right here, it would seem to me that it would be nice to potentially have some signage there, maybe saying it's a dead end. At the end of that road is Love Creek. And I don't know if it's ever been done before, but it would just be nice to let people know when all of this is going on and thereafter that, hey, this is a private community back here and it's a dead end. So those are my questions for the applicant. And my question for DelDOT is, I was unaware of the neighborhood that is coming in north, I guess it would be northwest, but in the period of time I've lived in Webb's Landing, the area is changing quite a bit. It's growing quite a bit. And if I'm correct, I believe Robinsonville Road is approximately 45 or 50 miles an hour. And now we're going to have multiple residential neighborhoods along Robinsonville Road. And we have the potential of having people cross Robinsonville Road. And I can tell you personally that, you know, I've been driving on Robinsonville Road and been going 45 or so, and people pass me. You know, so it's highly traveled. People drive at a high rate of speed. So is there any thought process in potentially reducing the speed limit on Robinsonville Road? And then my last question is for the board, for the commission. It would seem to me, and this is just a complete kind of out of the blue question, but when as Sussex County grows and we are developing farmland and putting in neighborhoods and things, is there any sort of a requirement or a thought process that we be preserving land as well, so that when someone develops farms or open area, that they would be required to preserve some other area in Sussex County? And I don't know if that's something that has been thought of, or if it's something that is potentially in the future. But it was just something that crossed my mind.
Well, it's a good thought, and it's one that has crossed the minds of everybody up here, and we've addressed it to some extent in the Comprehensive Land Use Plan, which we just passed the most recent iteration of that. It's available online at the county's website, and there are it does address those issues to some extent. The idea of preserving land somewhere else when you develop over here begins to sound like a transfer of development rights, which is not something that we're currently doing, and it's is done in other areas of the country, but that's a good deal more involved process. But I would encourage you to take a look at the land use plan, and you'll see in there you know, what efforts are being made to do that.
And I would just add, Mr. Whitley, two things. One is we do have a provision that hasn't really been used that much. There's a bonus density trade where you can basically purchase additional density if you're a developer. It still has to go through this process. And then if you do, that land goes into a fund that's managed by the Sussex County Land Trust to buy open space within the watershed area, the watershed sort of being a local geographic area. So that's one thing, but that's sort of voluntary. It's additional density to acquire open space. The other thing, though, is that Sussex County this year, and it looks like they're going to do it again next year, the budget is contributing money to the agricultural land preservation program, you know, so administered through the state to acquire easements for permanent preservation of farmland as well in Sussex County. So that's sort of an indirect way that we
I appreciate you giving me that information. Thank you. Those are all my questions.
All right, sir. Okay, Mr. Packowitz, would you please come up and address the gentleman's concern about Love Creek and drainage onto property not belonging to you?
Yes. Any drainage that leaves the site needs to be handled through for water quality. That's both during construction and after construction. So that it will be taken care of. As far as drainage off-site in the specific area,
in here, and I mentioned it briefly earlier, we have to control the water on our site. So there's going to be a series of inlets along that, any perimeter basically, but specifically along that, that will catch the water running off the back of the lots, put it in a pipe, and convey it on-site. So the water will be contained on-site.
All right, sir. Okay, Mr. Brockenbrough, the gentleman had some concerns that kind of touching on your area a little bit. If you could talk with us about a little bit about how signage is determined, how speed limits are determined, and so on, and how that may or may not have an application in this instance.
Okay, my understanding of how DLDOT does speed limit studies is generally we do radar studies and look at the 85th percentile speed. That's the most common approach. We do take into account the area and the activity in the area. So it's possible that if we did a speed study, we might lower the speed limit. Anyone can request a speed study. The county may wish to ask our traffic studies section to pursue that.
Okay. Anyone can request a speed study?
I believe so.
Really? Did you all hear that? Anyone can request a speed study. There you go.
We have a small staff that does that.
Well, if you think, I was going to say that for the benefit of the public. I will tell you this, it may take a while to get around to it if you request it, but it's good to know that it's available.
I always thought that was just checking my speed.
And I think that the gentleman made an excellent point about dead end signage and so on. Certainly, that sounds very reasonable to me.
There are standards for placing no outlet signs. If we don't have one on Webb's Landing Road near Robinsonville Road, I don't know why we don't.
Yeah. Okay, and how would one go about doing that? Contact your state representative or what?
Again, it's our traffic studies section.
Okay.
Just to ask that, is the signage correct?
Okay. Or you can contact your state representative. I personally know that works.
All of our legislators, I believe, know the folks in our traffic
studies. They know your number,
section.
Don't they?
Yes.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, thank you. Sure. Appreciate your help. Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak? I haven't had a single soul from this side of the room. Anybody on this side? Okay. Anybody else over here? All right, then. Thank you all for your patience and for your comments. If there are no more questions from the commission, anyone else have any questions? All right, then, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.